This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, welcome in. A new hour of Cashing Out with me, Joe Serrallo, starts right here, right now on VSiN. And we ended hour one with a bang. As soon as we went to break, Lamar Jackson on a big third and four danced around the pocket, evaded the Pittsburgh pass rush, stepped up and threw a dot deep down the middle of the field to who else but his guy, Zay Flowers. 17-13, the Ravens lead it here in Pittsburgh, and they needed a touchdown more than ever right there. They got it in just over a minute. A quick scoring drive for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Now Aaron Rodgers takes the field with 8.5 to go, 8:42 to be exact for Pittsburgh. That injured left hand, left wrist of Rodgers, he is favoring it. Obviously, it's bothering him. He's going to tough it out in the cold in Pittsburgh and try to propel his team to the playoffs. First play, they line up stacked on the line of scrimmage. One back, Warren, deep in the backfield on their own 40 after the penalty from Baltimore on the kickoff. And it's a screen, a little trickery there from Rodgers. Gains a nice chunk. Also, fine job by Baltimore defending it because it looked like it was, you know, no doubt Pittsburgh was going to be running the ball first down there. So they gain about 7, but more damage certainly could have been done by the Steelers on that first down. We'll call it a little bit of a trickery surrounding that play. Hey, this hour, we've got a busy one. In just about 15 minutes, our friend from RotoWire, you see him here on the network all the time, Nick Whalen, is going to join the show as we get ready to talk about Knicks Jaguars and the rest of the playoff picture. Later on in the hour, as Jaylen Warren busts a big run open through the right side. Later on in the hour, Michael Duarte, Emmy Award winner, NBC Los Angeles, going to join us. We'll talk all things Rams, all things Chargers, the Los Angeles impact on the NFL playoffs, and more. We'll break down that NFC West because, man, I would be shocked if the NFC representative in the Super Bowl does not come out of the NFC West. You've got the one seed, the top seeded Seattle Seahawks. I've got a lot to say on Seattle later on in the show and why they are going to be so damn dangerous in the playoffs. You've also got a 5 seed in the Rams, who just 2 weeks ago were the favorites to win the Super Bowl, and a 6 seed in the 49ers, who just a little more than 24 hours ago had a shot at the 1 seed and had a shot at not having to leave their own beds between now and the Super Bowl should they make it to Levi Stadium, their home stadium, where Super Bowl 60 is going to be played in Santa Clara. So in the NFC, the 1 seed, the 5 seed, and the 6 seed, two of those teams had a shot at the 1 seed 24 hours ago. One's the favorite. One was the favorite a couple of weeks ago to win the Super Bowl. I mean, it's as dominant a division as exists, a division with 3 teams with 12 or more wins. I mean, you know, we thought last year what we saw was remarkably unique in a division in the NFC North, where you had 3 teams with 11 or more wins. You had a 14-3 wild card team, right? That winner take all Sunday night Lions Vikings game, which, you know, winner was going to get the 1 seed, loser at 14-3 would be the 5 seed, eventually would be the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, this year you've got a 14-win 1 seed and a pair of 12-5 wild card teams in that NFC West. Just a loaded division. I mean, over in the AFC, you've got the AFC West with a couple of teams with 14-11 wins, the AFC East with a couple of teams with 14-12 wins. So I was just noticing this yesterday, that the NFL this year had, I believe, 9 teams with 11 or more wins. I can't remember a year where it was just so top heavy. There's not really a middle class in the NFL this season. I mean, you've got, you know, what are we looking at? The Jaguars, I believe, have 13 wins. Pats and Broncos have 14. Seahawks have 14. I mean, we've got really just a top-heavy NFL this year. A couple of 12-win wild card. Aren't we looking at 4 12-5 wildcard teams, two in each conference, Niners, Rams, Bills, Texans. I mean, that is remarkable to have four 12-win wildcard teams this year. But you look at the playoff picture, and there weren't any teams vying for a wildcard spot coming into Week 18, right? The only uncertainty we had in terms of make the playoffs or go home were a pair of divisions with 8 and 9 win teams duking it out. So there was really no middle class. You don't have any 10-win teams that are at home missing the playoffs this year. If you missed the playoffs, you had a bad year. If you made it, you had a great year. And there's really no in between. Pittsburgh in plus territory here on the Ravens' 38-yard line. I've got more on, by the way, how that inequality, if you will, of NFL teams has impacted the wildcard weekend lines coming up. Pittsburgh, another chunk play. It's Jaylen Warren. It's a run to the right side. It's 6 or 7 yards on first down yet again. The Ravens' defense really struggling here in the second half. So what you're seeing with these wildcard weekend lines, right? And we're waiting on the Texans versus the winner of this game. But we've got 5 lines out there, and 4 of the 5 are 3.5 points or shorter. We've never seen this in the history of the modern recent history of the updated wildcard format, right? Wildcard weekend has seen a lot of disparity, you know, in years past, since we've moved away from 6 teams in each conference to now 7 teams in each conference. As Rodgers rolls left, checks it down to the line of scrimmage, Pitt gains a handful. Honestly, nice play there. It didn't look like they had much. Rodgers was getting pressured. It's going to be about 3rd and 2. Clock still ticking inside 6.5 minutes to go. So ever since we moved in January 2021 to that 2 versus 7 seed format, I believe the first game in that format was Bills-Colts, right? Phillip Rivers' last game at 2 versus a 7. We have seen blowouts galore wildcard weekend. Last year, wildcard weekend, 5 of the 6 games were decided by 12 or more points. The year before, 5 of the 6 were decided by 14 or more points. Now we've got 5 lines out. 1 is 10, that's the Rams-Panthers. The others are all between 1.5 and 3.5. This could be the most closely contested wild card weekend we have ever seen in the 5 or 6 years that we've had this updated, we'll still call it new format, not even a decade old, not even close. I mean, the blowouts have, even in the early years, right? The first year, 5 out of 6 games were decided by 7+. Year 2, every game was decided by 6+. Year 3, 4 out of 6 were decided by 7+. And then I gave you the last 2 years how 5 have been decided, or I'll say 10 out of the 12 have been decided by 12 or more points. In the last 2 years, things have not been close at all. Big play up the middle here. Pittsburgh inside the 5, going to have a fresh set of downs, gold to go. You have to imagine, barring a big loss by Pittsburgh on any play here, as they're having first down at the 5, they rushed it to the line of scrimmage. Now Rodgers calls them back in for a huddle, 20 seconds on the play clock. Big play to Freiermuth. That's the second time we've said that here in the second half. 5.5 minutes to go. The Steelers are down 4. It's 1st and goal from the 5. I'd venture to say, I bet the Steelers are in 4-down territory here, should they need it, should they require it. And Rodgers going to call a timeout. That's a waste. Pittsburgh, already they were down a timeout. Now they've got just 1 left in 5 minutes. That's terrible. They have a big play. They rush up to the line of scrimmage, fake like they're going to go for it. Rodgers calls the huddle back, and they can't even get a playoff there after a big gain of 30 to the tight end who just beat his coverage, and then there was no one up top to help. There's a safety on the left side of the field. Freiermuth had the middle all to himself before Starks finally brought him down. So that's just bad defense there by Baltimore, but now bad clock management on the other side by Pittsburgh to burn a timeout there. How about Rodgers? 26 of 40, 227 yards in this one. Running backs have been involved, but more involved in the passing game, Gainwell and Warren, than on the ground. Rodgers keeping this Ravens defense on their toes at all times here. So it'll be 1st and goal from the 5, And folks, I want to remind you, there is no better way to start your new year off than as a better, sharper, better. That's with a VSiN Pro subscription. This is the final week to save 50% off the regular monthly price with our holiday special. Sign up now. Get VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, covering everything from the incredibly exciting college football playoffs, the upcoming NFL playoffs, all the way to March Madness and the Masters. Start the new year with an edge. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Pittsburgh doesn't gain much on their first play. It'll be second and goal here for the Steelers. We are inside 4 minutes and 45 seconds from the four. Rodgers passing, rolls right, gets rid of it quick, and has a completion, but nice coverage there by the Ravens secondary on top of Jonnu Smith. And it looks like the guy who made that tackle is now hobbling off the field, getting off there quickly so they don't have to burn a timeout. Rodgers wanted to play quick. He wanted to try to get an advantage there with the Ravens as they were making a swap. You see him yelling at his offensive coordinator. It's going to be third and goal. Oh, he's switching helmets. Guess he had an issue there getting the play in. Yeah, it's signaling he couldn't hear his offensive coordinator. So Rodgers might have called that play in the flat. Third and goal on the 1.5-yard line. Will we get this play in before commercial break? Pitt might have to burn a timeout, and they do. They're out of timeouts. 3:53 to go. Don't go anywhere. It's Cashing Out. I'm Joe Cirola.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Cashing Out continues with me, Joe Cirola, taking you through what is going to be a ridiculously exciting finish in Pittsburgh. Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers wasted no time. They marched down the field. They reclaim the lead. It is 20-17 Pittsburgh. Ravens ball now, about 3.5 minutes to go. Important update, the Steelers had to burn two timeouts on the final few plays of that last drive, so they are out of timeouts here, as it'll be Ravens ball on their own 27, needing to go 73 yards, to reclaim the lead, or of course a field goal could tie this thing and potentially send the final game of the regular season to overtime. With that, we head on over to the Progressive guest line, as promised, and welcome in our friend from RotoWire. You see him here on the network all the time, Nick Whalen. Nick, how are you doing, my friend? Is this game unfolding the way that you thought it would? Or are you shocked Pittsburgh has all of a sudden gone from 3 first-half points to now looking like a force offensively in the second half? What are your thoughts on this regular season finale?
You know, I don't know if there's a way this game could go where I would say, you know, that seems out of the realm of possibility, because we knew this was going to be a weird game. You know, I think we knew it would probably come down to the final possession, which looks like it's unfolding right now out in Pittsburgh. I can't say I'm shocked that the Steelers are in the position that they're in now. Based on what we saw for Baltimore on the first drive of the game, where they get that huge play from Derrick Henry. Yeah, you know, a penalty took off some of that yardage, but they're just gashing that Steelers defense. It did feel at that point like it was going to be very, very difficult for Pittsburgh to keep up. You know, they found a way all season with or without DK Metcalf to generate offense with these two running backs, all these tight ends. They get nothing down the field. So it did look like one of those games early where you're like, okay, can Pittsburgh get to the 24 to 27 points that might be necessary? But I think the Steelers have done an incredible job really since that first quarter, just keeping Baltimore off the field and, you know, finding ways to extend these drives without hitting big plays, just 2, 3, 4 yards at a time, keeping Lamar Jackson in that offense on the sideline. And man, you got to be happy, I think, given how this game started, if you're a Steelers fan, But that Alex Highsmith play on the last Baltimore drive, not finding a way to bring Lamar down. I have a feeling that Baltimore is going to find a way on this final drive, and we're going to look back at that play as something that really could have changed things.
And we've got a penalty, so we'll see if it stands. But Zay Flowers, for the second straight possession, beats everyone in the Steelers secondary. And if this result stands, the Ravens have just taken the lead again. We'll see what the flag is. And it looks like it stands. Defensive holding declined. Oh, Zay Flowers again. Holy cow. What a lapse defensively. I mean, Pittsburgh's defense, I've been saying this, Nick, they've been dominating the trenches, frankly, on each side of the ball, O-line and D-line. They've been absolutely winning every battle this half. You mentioned time of possession. In the third quarter, they doubled Baltimore up 10 minutes to 5. I mean, they're getting off the field quickly, and yet for the second straight possession here in the towards the end of the game, in the final 7 or so minutes, Zay Flowers just torches them.
I don't understand it. I don't understand it. We saw Jalen Ramsey get burned early in this game as well. You know, it does feel like with Pittsburgh against this Ravens team specifically, it's like if they can't get to Lamar quickly, like the further the play extends, the higher the chance is that you're going to somehow find Patrick Queen chasing Zay Flowers down the field, like what happened on that previous touchdown. I mean, this is unacceptable, man. I mean, you're in a position to win this game at home on your defense. I think this is the way you would have it if you're Pittsburgh. You would rather your defense be on the field here, I think, in this situation than have to go the length of the field with your offense against Baltimore's D. And like you said, two consecutive possessions, man. This is why the Steelers are in this position in the first place.
Are you seeing this replay? They had no high safety on the left side of the field. So Zay starts on the right side and runs a crossing route into just absolute no man's land.
Yeah. I mean, Jalen Ramsey ostensibly is that safety, and he's basically playing in a linebacker position.
Yeah, he was up in the – I mean, Lamar's got his hands on his head. I don't know if that's Lamar's reaction to the penalty, to the flag being thrown, wondering what it is, or just disbelief that Zay could be so wide open. I mean, the Ravens have really, in terms of their passing game, they haven't done a whole lot. It's been three explosive plays that the Steelers all of a sudden, this is a team, we were looking at their defense back in August, Nick, and we were saying this is going to be one of the best defenses they've had in a long time. They have been so susceptible to explosive plays. It truly is mind-boggling.
It really is. It really is. Yeah, I think for so many years, we've just been accustomed to a certain standard for the Pittsburgh Steelers on defense. You just assume that regardless of the personnel, regardless of who the coordinator is, regardless of who the star players are, that they're just always going to be a top 10 defense. And I mean, we've seen this as an issue for them throughout the season. You know, they've played a lot of games just even in the last month or so where you'll see one good half out of that defense and then a total collapse. You know, I'm thinking of the Buffalo game a few weeks ago. It really is those three big plays for Baltimore. I mean, watching this game, that's how it felt as well. I mean, there's a reasonable chance the Ravens are going to end this game with 43 plays run, you know, kind of similar to what we saw in the Cincinnati game from them a couple of weeks ago. I mean, Lamar's thrown the ball 14 times for 204 yards.
But I mean, this defense really can't do squat. This is like Aaron Rodgers comes out here and my goodness, first play, you get about 15 and the Steelers are already right around midfield as it takes us to the 2-minute warning. All right. So you got Pittsburgh right around midfield. I'm going to pull up the live odds to update everyone here and see if we can get some final action when it comes to the 2025 regular season. I've got two things in pocket, Nick. I've got a Derrick Henry anytime touchdown. Doesn't look like the birthday boy is going to get there. I've also got the Ravens -3, which I pounced on last weekend as soon as the opening line came out. And I was seeing it up to as much as 5.5 right before kickoff. So I got a great number. I know some people that are on the other side with Pitt +4.5. Right now, if this score holds, everyone's a winner, right? Spreads off the board. Money line, Baltimore -260, Pitt 2-1. I mean, they're on midfield. I feel like Pitt's the right bet.
I think if you're asking, you got to bet one or the other, one money line, it's got to be Pittsburgh for me at this point. I don't think there's enough there with Baltimore at -260 where I would make that choice. I will tell you, Joe, I am over leveraged on the Steelers just winning this game straight up by virtue of a picks league that has been going on since week one with my my college buddies. So if the Ravens win, I get nothing. If the Steelers win, I get about $700. So I didn't even have to go to the book to bet this one. And we'll be sweating that out over the next couple of minutes here. And got to be honest, don't feel great about it right now.
I mean, you know, and it's so funny because you don't feel great about it. You need Pittsburgh. I need Baltimore. And I don't feel good at all knowing that Aaron Rodgers has 2 minutes, even without any timeouts, to go 49 yards. Because this Ravens defense can't stop a freaking nosebleed right now. And they get about another 7 or 8 right there. And clock's moving, but they're already in plus territory. You know, I was saying when they burned those last two timeouts, which was terrible clock management, I was worried if that was going to come back to bite them. I'm almost wondering if Zay should have, like, gone down at the 5-yard line or something. I mean, you left Aaron Rodgers way too much time, and here's Kenneth Gainwell, and, like, Pittsburgh's going to win this game. Little dump off to Gainwell as the pocket collapsed, and it turns into a gain of 15. They're already approaching or in the red zone, Nick. You feeling better now? They're on the 26.
I'm feeling a little bit better. The problem is, where do they go in the red zone, right? We saw this just before half. You got 2 seconds on the clock. You're like, all right, what's our best play here? They run a pitch out to the left that had no chance. You could tell before that play, before the ball was even snapped, that, you know, it was a misalignment. There was going to be defenders in the area. I think that's, you know, it's something that's affected both of these teams this season. Baltimore, you know, traditionally has been good in the red zone. They've had their issues this year. But with no DK Metcalf, you know, I guess it depends on exactly where the ball is. Are you in a position to run it? Like, if this comes down to, hey, I got to have it, you know, we got one play left from, let's say, the 6-yard line, where do you go if you're Pittsburgh? You know, do you go to Marquez Valdes-Scantling? Do you just spin the wheel and throw it to one of the tight ends? Like, that's what worries me here.
Yeah, I mean, Freiermuth's had himself a night. He's had a couple of big plays. 3rd and 10 on a little seam route where Rodgers just got rid of it quick for 15. Had another deep play to put them on the 5 on their last drive. And they go for a slant here, incomplete. Thielen's raising his arms. Rodgers raising his arms. No flag. A minute exactly to go. It's 3rd and 10. Steelers money lines plus 170. Oof. Man, I don't feel
Rodgers
good
doesn't
about
get
the
those
Ravens
calls anymore.
No, you think he's rubbed enough people the wrong way?
I think 2017 Rodgers and maybe 2017 Adam Thielen get that call. You're not getting that in 2025.
Right. I mean, Rodgers and Thielen, their combined age has been collecting Social Security for about a decade now. Guys are not getting any younger out there. 3rd and 10 from the 26. Yeah. Let's see if Baltimore's defense can finally. Oh, no. What a lapse. Touchdown, Steelers.
Goodness. You're ahead of me, and thank goodness.
Calvin Austin, left side. What the hell are we watching? But here's the caveat, Nick. There's 55 seconds left.
Too much time.
We thought Baltimore left Pittsburgh too much time. Did Pittsburgh just leave Baltimore too much time? We'll answer that question on the other side. He's Nick Whalen from RotoWire. I'm Joe Serallo. This is Cashing Out. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Nick, do you remember the old Saturday Night Live sketches with Bill Hader as this New York City club frequenter named Stefan, who loved to come up with a club and say, this place has everything? Because that's how I feel about this game. This game has everything right now.
It does, man. It does. Again, we knew this would be a weird game. Like, Ravens Steelers, no matter what, I don't care if it's week 1, week 18, a playoff game. Like, these are always going to be weird games. I didn't necessarily know if it would be fun weird or if it would be sad weird. You know, like Carolina-Tampa Bay the other night, that was sad weird. You know, those are like, man, I don't think either of these teams are good. I don't want to see either of these teams in the playoffs. I still don't know if the Ravens or the Steelers are good. I don't know if either of these teams deserve to make the postseason. One of them is going to be in about a minute from now, but they've at least delivered us an entertainingly weird game.
Well, it doesn't get much more entertaining than this. 20 seconds left. The Ravens are on midfield, 4th and 7. This is what it's going to come down to here for Baltimore to either keep their season alive, another 2 plays or so, or they go home, losers 8-9, and the Steelers somehow pull 10 wins out of their rear ends and make it to the playoffs. He's Nick Whalen, by the way. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Whalen. The L is a one. Senior analyst at RotoWire, VSiN host. I'm Joe Serrallo. This is Cashing Out. And these are the final 21 seconds of the regular season. So as we gear up for those, why wouldn't Baltimore call a timeout? It'll be 4th and 7. They're on midfield on the 50-yard line. Nick, I was trying to set it up. I was trying to have that go right into the 4th and 7 play.
It was going
and
so perfect.
They killed the rhythm. They killed the rhythm. What do you think happens here? If you're Baltimore, what could you possibly be drawing up?
Well, I think we probably get the type of play that you see from Lamar. You saw over and over probably too many times from the Chiefs this season, which is just kind of get the ball in the hands of Lamar Jackson, probably get him on the move and allow him to work through two, maybe three options, you know, down the field. Obviously, you're not running the ball. I'm guessing not in this situation, although Baltimore does have two timeouts, but, you know, 4th and 7, you're not running it here.
Yeah.
I think you're getting Lamar on the move. We've seen him evade sacks plenty of times tonight. I think he looks more mobile. He looks stronger in the pocket than he has all season. And I think you see what happens, because I don't know if I can sit here and draw up an exact play for you, but I think you get Lamar on the move and you see what you could get over the middle and you figure it out. And you are ahead of me, so I'm anxious to see what you're laughing about.
React to this play in real time.
You've got to be kidding
me, man. TJ Watt had him eaten up.
Are we going to talk about likely bringing this ball down too? The guy who never makes the catch in this spot. Goodness, man. Ravens are going to walk it off.
Good thing his size 13 shoes weren't an issue in the back of the end zone on this one. Remember that week one last season against Kansas City? He had the game of his life.
I
love Isaiah Likely, by the way. I was actually surprised that Mark Andrews got the extension he did, because I thought Likely was going to be handed the reins as tight end one.
Oh, my Lord. Well, I'm with you on that. I'm anxious to see what they end up doing, or what Likely ends up doing this offseason. I thought the Andrews extension was odd, considering it felt like they were on the verge of trading him heading into the year. Man, we're seeing the replay now. I mean, how does Ramsey not knock that out? Just an unbelievable play. Unbelievable, man.
Great grab. I mean, Lamar, he put it where it needed to be. Give him credit. It was still a gettable ball for the defense to at least disrupt.
100%.
I'm not saying pick off.
100%. Jalen Ramsey of all people, too. That's the guy you'd want doing that.
Yeah, they're playing for a field goal here. 14 seconds left. Lamar kneels it. This is not a gimme. They're at the 27, 28-yard line. You're really – you had a timeout, and you're playing for a 45-yard field goal. I'm going to say this right now. Regardless of the result, I don't like it.
I think you give it to Derrick Henry once, and I mean, ultimately, are we talking about a gain of more than 4 or 5 yards? Unlikely. But if you can make a 45-yard field goal, a 40-yard field goal, you do it. I'll agree with you on that.
I'm thinking you try to throw it 10 yards. Make it more of a chip shot. You got a timeout. You got 14 seconds. Lamar can throw it away. Unlike Josh Allen, I think Lamar is a little better at throwing the ball away versus taking a loss. Although, I mean, we've seen both of those guys try to make too much happen and take losses. I'm referencing the Allen 19-yard sack against the Eagles last week, of course. But
the sack.
2nd and 12. 2 seconds left. I don't even want to react because you're a little behind me here, Nick.
Oh, go for it. I've accepted my fate.
All right. Congrats, Nick. You won $700.
No way.
Oh, my God.
With the John 316 sign in the background.
I feel like this is like Slumdog Millionaire. You just won 700 rupees.
Unbelievable. And to think that I heard you say that and I'm like, oh, he's got to be joking. Like, what a mean thing to say.
Do we joke on Cashing Out? Come on, Nick. I don't know what Dustin's been doing lately, but not on Cashing Out with Joe Serrallo. We don't joke. This is wild. There Mike Tomlin. Magic Mike Tomlin. The Pittsburgh Steelers go into the playoffs. Has John Harbaugh coached his last game with the Baltimore Ravens? Has Lamar Jackson played his last game with the Baltimore Ravens? I'll hang up and listen.
So I get the impression that the Lamar Jackson, Jim Harbaugh tandem may not be back next year. If I'm the Baltimore Ravens and I have to choose between one of those two, the choice is obvious, right? You're taking the two-time MVP and a guy who probably should be a three-time MVP in the middle of his prime in Lamar Jackson. Now, do you let a shanked 44-yard field goal, you know, make the decision for you? I think that would be a little bit rash if you're Baltimore, but the seeds of this have been cropping up throughout the entire season, right? And yeah, I have a couple friends who are Ravens fans. I think they're ready to be done with Harbaugh. I have not heard a single Ravens fan say, you know what, the guy I'm ready to be done with is Lamar Jackson, the guy who should have won the MVP last year. I think if you have to make that choice and you're Baltimore, it's obvious. You do not move on from Lamar. There's a reason, Joe, that when we talk about this, you try to think of a comparison and you're like, I can't. You're like, there's never been a quarterback as good as Lamar Jackson traded at this point in his career. It just does not happen in the NFL for a reason.
Nick, I think you're spot on. And that, when I say I think you're spot on, that's if only one comes back, it's Lamar.
Right.
Look, I like John Harbaugh. At the same time, this game, and you're right, it doesn't come down to the missed kick, but it comes down to why were you in that position in the first place? I mean, the Steelers had right. no momentum at halftime. Baltimore got the stop. Pittsburgh, I was saying they should have taken the points in real time, that they should have kicked the field goal, gone into the half, gone into the locker room down 10-6. Instead, they go for the touchdown. Baltimore gets the stop. They should have all the momentum in the world. And they just choked away the second half. I mean, this game, man. My goodness. This was a bad loss for even on the road. I know at yeah. Mike Tomlin, tough place to play. Bad loss for Baltimore.
You know who should be excited about this, though, is the Houston Texans, right? I think this is kind of the matchup that you want. If you're Houston, it's not quite getting the 5 seed in the NFC where you're handed the Carolina Panthers and you're a 10.5-point favorite like the LA Rams. You know, the Steelers team just has inherent devil magic behind it, and weird things happen in Steelers games, as we just saw 2 minutes ago. But I think you're thrilled right now if you're the Texans getting this matchup. That defense going up against such a limited overall Steelers offense. You know, you don't see breakdowns like we saw in that last drive for Baltimore from that Houston Texans defense. I know DK Metcalf is going to be back out there next week for the Steelers, but I think this is great news if you're a Houston Texans fan.
So Nick, our terrific producer, Adam Bernard, just in my ear informed me that Houston has opened 2.5-point favorites at Pitt. It's a trappy number. Yep. I feel like anytime you see a 2.5-point favorite, Vegas wants the public to jump on the favorite. Are we jumping on the Texans together Monday Night Football next week?
I think I'm jumping on the Texans. I am. You got to give credit to Pittsburgh for finding a way to win this game. But this is yet another Ravens game this season where I come away thinking the Ravens lost that game. They were not beaten by their opponent. You know, I don't want to, overrate necessarily this one result for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And again, they'll have DK Metcalf back. The offense will maybe look a little bit more dynamic. I will say this, Houston, when you look at the defensive numbers, I'm with you. I think among several very good defenses, several big time contenders, as far as who's the best defense in the NFL, I do lean toward the Texans. It's Texans or Seahawks for me. It is a better pass defense than it is a run defense. You can run a little bit on the Houston Texans. They're closer to league average in that regard. So, the two back tandem that Pittsburgh throws out there and, the way they use those guys in the screen game, Kenneth Gainwell and Jaylen Warren, I could see that being a little bit of an issue for Houston, but they're not going to have trouble getting pressure on Aaron Rodgers like Baltimore did at times tonight. So I think that's a spot at 2.5 where I would jump on Houston. I think they've been the better team. I think they have pretty easily the best unit in this game if you're just looking at both offenses and both defenses.
Man, I'm with you. 30 seconds left here. I'm going to give you the floor to talk about Jacksonville, Buffalo. I like your Jags money line, but the final 25 seconds are yours.
Yeah, man, this feels a little bit different than the last Jags-Bills playoff game. That was when Blake Bortles outdueled Tyrod Taylor back in 2017. Look, I'll say this. I cannot believe that I'm feeling optimistic about the Jaguars in any postseason game, let alone a postseason game where you are bringing in Josh Allen to Everbank Field. The Bills, the entire case for me for Baltimore rests on, or Baltimore, Buffalo, excuse me, rests on Josh Allen just having a superhuman performance, which he is capable of. The Jaguars are the better team, man. I can't believe I'm saying this. They are the better team on offense and on defense. I'm with you. I will be disappointed if the Jags don't win that game.
Hey, Nick Whalen, and I'm Joe Cirillo. More Cashing Out next.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
I still can't believe what we just witnessed. 26-24, your final in Pittsburgh, a comeback win for the Steelers. Everyone wants to call for Mike Tomlin's job. Well, he just led this team to a 10-7 record, a sweep over the Ravens, and an AFC North title. Absolutely incredible regular season finale for Acrisure Stadium. We'll break that down and the rest of the now complete AFC playoff picture right here on Cashing Out with Joe Cirillo as we take it to the Progressive Guest Line. Welcome in our good friend, Emmy Award winner from NBC Los Angeles, Michael Duarte, into the show. Michael, we've got so much to get to. I teased it, the LA teams, the Rams, the Chargers, exciting wild card weekend matchups. But holy smokes, man, that finish in Pittsburgh. I mean, take us through your thoughts on that and just how wide open the AFC might be this year.
Yeah, that game was absolutely, we call it California crazy here, Joe. You know that very well. That game was California crazy, had more twists and turns than the finale of Stranger Things. And at the end of the day, like you said, they want to kill Mike Tomlin. They want to kill off Aaron Rodgers. These guys just keep surviving to play another day. They do it again. Aaron Rodgers, we're going to see him in the playoffs. And look, you know, the Texans are probably one of the hottest teams in the entirety of the AFC. As you mentioned, it's wide open. I wouldn't be surprised to see any team. They got to go to Pittsburgh and play on that muddy field, play in those windy and cold conditions in the playoffs with the terrible towels going crazy. It's going to be a very tough environment to play at in the playoffs. But like you said, the AFC is wide open. I think the NFC is pretty wide open as well. I wouldn't be surprised to see any two teams make the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the just parity that we expect to see coming out of the AFC. Three games next weekend, Michael. You've got Houston opening up as a 2.5-point road favorite at Pittsburgh. I lean in that direction, but with the weather, with the elements, a dome team going to Pittsburgh, Mike Tomlin on the other sideline, anything can happen. You've got Jacksonville, an ever so slight home underdog to Buffalo, catching 1.5. And then you've got the Chargers, 3.5-point underdogs at New England in the 2-7 seed game. I mean, in the last 2 years, wild card weekend, we've seen 10 of the 12 games be decided by 12 or more points. Wild card weekend has had a lot of blowouts in recent history. All of those spreads I just listed for you are 3.5 points or less. We are expecting, or at least Vegas is expecting, close games wild card weekend. So let's bring it home to LA. Chargers, Patriots, Justin Herbert, Drake May, Jim Harbaugh, Mike Vrabel. I can't wait for this matchup. Do you think LA, with a banged up quarterback, can go from playing in SoFi, in SoCal, to going on the road in Foxborough and knock off the Patriots? How do you see that game unfolding?
Yeah, Joe, it's definitely a tough task ahead for the Chargers. The Patriots are hotter than concrete on your feet in the summertime. Winners of 13 of their last 14 games, by the way, tied for the best record in the NFL this season. It's funny because if they don't lose that week one game to the Raiders, who ended up being the worst team in the NFL this year, they have the first round bye in the playoffs. And in this game would be Chargers-Denver, a rematch in Denver. So instead, that one loss comes back to haunt the Patriots. They don't get the number one overall seed in that bye. But look, Jim Harbaugh, with a strategy that Sean McVay has used well the last few years, that is resting your quarterback, resting most of your starters, kind of giving him an impromptu bye week, if you will, whereas the Patriots played everybody in that blowout victory that they had. So, you know, the Chargers are going to come in with a healthy, somewhat banged up, but rested Justin Herbert, at least, rested Omarion Hampton, the running back, some rested receivers in McConkey. Their offense has been pretty good this year, but it's the Chargers defense, fifth ranked defense in the NFL, Joe, better than the Patriots, who are no slouch. They're right behind them. But it's that Chargers defense, I think, will play anywhere, including on the road. The Chargers are 8-8 against the spread, 3-1 as underdogs against the spread this season. I think it's going to be a very close game. I think the Patriots ultimately end up taking out, but I wouldn't be surprised for any outcome.
How worried are you about the offensive line? I mean, you know, and we saw it again. We've seen it all season, obviously. Had the Slater injury preseason, Joe Alt in and out of the lineup throughout the season. You know, obviously there was no Justin Herbert. He got the game off against Denver. Trey Lance, I think, is just absolutely terrible. I think he's one of the worst backups in the league. But that offensive line did not help his case. How worried are you that Herbert and the offense won't be able to get anything rolling in this one just because of how injured and banged up that O-line is. 54 sacks this year.
Yeah, offensive line for the Chargers, which has been an area they've tried to address through the draft, through free agency, but they've been as brittle as a three-month-old bar of soap, Joe. It is the one Achilles heel that you can glaringly point to during the Chargers regular season as an area of weakness. I'm sure we're going to get into the Rams Panthers as well. I'm going to point out their kryptonite, their area of weakness too. But if you're looking at this Chargers team and where they are, what their weakness, what their Achilles heel is, where they are susceptible to be beat, it is on the line of scrimmage with that offensive line. So to your point, if that New England front four, front five, sometimes they play five sets, can get to Justin Herbert, put pressure on him, knock him down. Like you said, he's banged up already, dealing with ankle injuries throughout the year, the broken finger on the hand. You could get to him, and that's why I think ultimately the Patriots hold on for this victory, playing in that weather at Foxborough. And I think that's the way it goes. But if the Chargers defense can keep him in it, you never know what you might see, especially at the end there. Justin Herbert, I would take over Drake May, even though Drake May might be the NFL MVP this year. I would take Justin Herbert and his talent with the ball in his hand with a chance to win that game.
Yeah, how about the guy in contention for the MVP with Drake May, the Rams quarterback, Matthew Stafford? This is the only spread wildcard weekend that is longer than 3.5 points. The Rams are monstrous 10-point favorites at Carolina, a place they lost not too long ago. Mm-hmm. Rainy weather. Stafford turned it over 3 times. He hadn't turned the ball over in, like, I want to say damn near 2 months prior to that game against Carolina. Turned it over 3 times there. They get upset by the Panthers. I believe that they're going to exact some revenge in this contest. What do you think about Stafford and the Rams in this game? You alluded to their kryptonite. What is that kryptonite? And how far do you have the Rams going in the NFC side of the bracket?
Joe, great questions. I'm going to chop it up for you like a sushi chef. So Matthew Stafford is so old. Jake Paul wants to fight him, Joe. But he is at 37 years old. He is my NFL MVP this season. He led the league in passing yard, led the leagues in touchdowns with 46. That's more than Tom Brady had when he was in his year 44 season with Tampa Bay in 2021. Just a phenomenal year. Second most, I believe, for 37 years or older. Only that Peyton Manning 55 touchdown season, that first season he had in Denver. So he's great. Yep. But you mentioned it. That game in Carolina, it snapped his record streak of consecutive passes and games that he had without a turnover. He had 3 in that game. 2 of them came in the red zone, Joe. That was the difference in that game. Now, you mentioned rain in that game. It was a sloppy field, sloppy conditions, going from West Coast to East Coast, playing early in the morning for the Rams. They're going to have to do that again on a short week now. Carolina played Saturday last night. The Rams are going to have to play on Saturday again. So a shorter week for them. They're going to have to travel to Carolina. It's supposed to be raining throughout that game again on Saturday. So they're going to have to get payback, as you will. Now, I spoke to Jared Verse. I spoke to Nate Landman. I spoke to Kobe Turner. I spoke to Puka Nacua after the game today, their victory over the Cardinals. All of them said they got payback to get. And if you are a Rams fan and you're looking for hope in this rematch, obviously besides that 10-point spread, Panthers were 3-for-3 on fourth down again in that game, including that final drive that ended up sealing it. The Rams, like I mentioned, 2 turnovers inside the red zone, that pick 6 by Stafford that was a backbreaker during that game. But they moved the ball at will up and down the field on the Panthers in that game. They only punted 1 time. This is the number one ranked offense in the NFL. And guess what, Joe? They're getting Devontae Adams back. They got Tyler Higbee back today. They're getting Rob Havenstein, their starting right tackle, back. I think they're 6-1 with Rob Havenstein starting this year. They're getting Quentin Lake, one of their captains on defense, who they just signed to a new 3-year extension. They're getting him back on defense. None of those guys I just mentioned played in that Carolina loss several weeks ago. And so I like them in this game. I like them big. I think they're going to flip a switch when they go to Carolina. I think they can cover that 10-point spread. I just don't think the Panthers are very good, especially watching them the last 2 weeks against the Bucs with chances to win the division. They choked and they backed into the playoffs, backed into winning that division, thanks for the Falcons' victory over the Saints. And the last thing you talked about, because you asked me how far do I think they can go, I think it's kind of the path they take will be interesting because the NFC is wide open as well. But did you know, Joe, the last 3 of the last 4 times the Rams have won at least 12 games in the regular season, they've gone on to the Super Bowl, including the last 2 times under Sean McVay. They win 12 games again this year. I think the Super Bowl is definitely a place they can go to. And I don't think they're afraid of playing at Seattle or at Philadelphia or hosting the Niners if that's the path they take. I don't think they're afraid of any team.
I think it's them or the Seahawks. And I would love if we got that rematch in the NFC Conference Championship game. Michael, I appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much for breaking it down. I'm excited for these playoffs. I know you are too. Thanks so much for joining the show.
Yeah, you got it. And yeah, I think every game in this playoffs is going to be close. I think the only team who can beat the Rams in their path is themselves. And they've done that a few times this year. So we'll see if it happens again.
Emmy Award winner, NBC Los Angeles, Michael Duarte. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Michael J. Duarte. A new hour of Cashing Out with Joe Serrallo up next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.